beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance with the desire for creation. Hardly I am pleased with the pseudo-mystics. It is rare that someone even has the inclination towards or the determination to practice austerity and penance. Generally, in this world, people are simply living out their karma, and they have neither the strength nor the determination to do anything else than that. They are very much distracted, caught up, bewildered by the objects of the senses, viṣaya anivārtante, nirāhāsa deena. The objects of the senses are like magnets that pull the conditioned soul this way and that way to see something nice, to taste something that gives some sensual stimulation, to hear something, to touch something, to smell something. There's a kind of fly or bug that is known as a firefly. Its peculiar nature is that whenever it sees a fire, especially at night, it flies right into the fire. Very peculiar, because it gets burned up. But it's attracted by its eyes. A deer is attracted by the sound of the horn of the hunter, imitating a female deer. So the buck hears the mating cry of the doe, but actually it's not a doe, but it is just a horn. He's led to his death. Elephant smells the scent created by the hunter again of the female elephant, and he's led down a path and falls in a pit, and of course led to his death. The fish, his tongue is very active. He wants to taste that nice looking worm that just somehow or other happens to be floating in the water right near him. He doesn't ask, well, how did that worm get there anyway? His tongue said, let me eat. But underneath that worm is a big sharp hook, and the fish is led to his death. So the senses are working, leading different species to their death. But in human beings, all five senses are active simultaneously. Of course, we have superior capability. I won't say we have superior intelligence, because we're not demonstrating. We have the capability of superior intelligence. That might be a balance to the fact that all of our senses are working actively. But unfortunately, in a society which is devoid of Atma Tattva Gyan, which is comprised mainly of Grihamedis, Grihesu Grihamedim, 99.9% of the population are simply interested, Where is food? Where is sex? Where is shelter? And even if someone wants to achieve some prominence in the material world, he has to practice some kind of austerity. For example, in Bombay, so many people are working hard. And there are many colleges and universities and courses by which you can get certificates in this computer programming or in web designing or in medical skills or catering or this or that. So people are educated, but how many millionaires are there? How many people are prepared to work 24 hours a day without sleep, without food? Because to do something, someone somewhere has performed some austerity. For the most part, some people, of course, inherit their wealth, their success. And everyone is ultimately under the, or at the mercy of luxury. If she blesses someone. But invariably, luxury only comes to those who make a special effort to try for her. In general, you cannot sit at home and expect to become a big business magnate, the next crorepati. You have to work hard. So people do that. You cannot expect to become the next Sachin Tendulkar unless you perform some austerity. Just think how much austerity he has undergone. Of course, he is like a glowworm, a little bright for a little while. He'll soon fade. That's time. I have nothing against such. I hope someone brings him to the temple so he can donate for the second phase, or at least do a commercial for us or something. But it's a fact that no matter what you gain in this world by such austerities, it is something like worshiping the demigods. Formerly people would worship the demigods, Lord Shiva, Indra, Durga, Ganapati Bappa. They would worship to get some material benefit, and they would worship nicely. Not by getting drunk and having a parade. Ganesh is not impressed by that kind of worship, but by austerities. In fact, Shankaracharya prescribes worship of different deities for material happiness. And Ganesh is one of them. And it is Mangala Puja, is in the mode of goodness, worship of Durga. They don't offer meat to Durga. What does she want meat? She doesn't want meat. She's the wife of the greatest Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. She's completely transcendental. But Mangala Puja means to worship her in the mode of goodness. But again, it is all for limited and temporary benefits. So such kinds of austerity, we should understand, these are not in our real self-interest. An intelligent person will try to get the maximum benefit for the maximum amount of time. Just like, for example, nowadays, organs are very much in demand, and there's a trade going on to sell kidneys for many thousands of rupees. Actually, many thousands of dollars. So some people may think, oh, here's a scheme where I can get rich quick, or quickly, proper English. And so they'll take out their kidney and sell it, but they don't realize that they're weakening their own health. And they may enjoy some wealth for a short period of time, but they may decrease the duration of their life quite drastically. So that's short-term thinking. And after all, how much money can they get? And if they don't turn it into a bigger fortune, it will again evaporate. The fortune, the money will be spent. Someone will cheat you one way or the other. Because everybody is after cheap, instant sense gratification. And everybody is prepared to exploit others who have wealth. There are the haves, those who have, and the have-nots, those who don't have. So those who don't have are constantly trying to take from those who have. Ultimately, Krishna is not poor. In his place, in his dhamma, Madhama Sanatana, his eternal abode, everything is opulent and beautiful. There's unlimited supply. But we have a materialistic mentality and a short-range vision. And therefore, we perform austerity without considering the greater plan of Krishna. Manusyam sahasrishu kaschid yatra siddhaye. Out of many millions of men, one is intelligent enough to understand the jivasya tattva jigyasa. Austerity or anything else is meant for achieving the highest goal, Krishna consciousness. And if we do not understand a simple point, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that everything is connected with Krishna, and that we must see that everything in this world is somehow connected with Krishna. Not only objects, but things that happen in our lives. Everything is part of Krishna's world. Connected to him is the source. Janmadhyasya yadara is the origin, the source. So if we see everything connected to him, then there will be a path for us to connect, to use everything in his service. That is real renunciation. But if we don't have this vision, and most people do not try to understand this simple point, it's a simple basic principle, but most people don't have the intelligence left over from their exploiting material energy. All of their energy is expended, is used for the purpose of acquiring money, food, sex, shelter, prestige. It's a tremendous effort. People get very exhausted in today's world, in the competitive marketplace. They don't have enough energy to sit down and think, what is all of this? Where did all of this come from? What is the ultimate purpose of it? Therefore, because they cannot understand that everything is part of Krishna, they have no idea how to use things. Pravritincha, nivritincha. Jananavidur Asura. They don't know how to practice Pravritti and Nivritti, renunciation or sense gratification. Pravritti means sense gratification, to live a life for I, me, and mine, janasimoyamahamamedi, devoid of knowledge, pramatha. People become mad. So many people, incredible, how many people flew off to South Africa because some man from India knew how to hit a little ball around a field a little better than some other people could hit a ball around a field. And people spent so much money flying off to South Africa, and none of them are going to be asked to play in the game. None of them are going to get paid. They're all paying. And they'll go there and get drunk and enjoy different kinds of sense gratification. And they'll be able to tell people, I saw when India beat Australia or whatever. And what is the use? How does that help them in their pursuit of the ultimate goal in life? How does that contribute to the world and the suffering in the world? How does that contribute to anything at all except for ignorance, the composite ignorance of this material world? It just becomes deeper and deeper. Srila Prabhupada gives the example here of nuclear weapons, the discovery of the atomic bomb. And that's a whole story. There was some group, what do they call it? The Chicago, what's the name of that group? Oppenheimer, they had a whole think tank, and there was some name for their group or their effort. They Project Chicago or Project Philadelphia, I don't know, some name. Some project. And they spent so much money and had so many of the biggest scientists working day and night to discover nuclear weapons so they could use them to kill people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Brilliant. Wonderful. Death is already going on, but they performed austerity to make it happen more quickly. Okay, they had some rationalization that they were saving lives. So let's say both of them, the Americans, the Allies, and the Axis, Axis of evil, Japan and Germany, both sides were ignorant of the ultimate goal of life. But Prabhupada specifically points out here, performing austerity for something that is foolish. We should not be foolish, hopefully. Neither should we be lazy, neither should we use our energy for false things. And here also he points out that even in the field of religion, one would think, oh, he's wearing saffron cloth, he's wearing tilak, kanti mala, and he's doing tapasya, whatever. There's so many examples here in Yukashipu. Big example, performed austerity, but so many great demons. Ravana also performed great austerity. We can't even consider it. I could, just now, have all of you stand up. Just to give you some idea. Everybody stand up. Okay, now everybody put your hands in the air. Now everybody up on your toes. Up on your toes. Get up on your toes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can leave you there for about 10 minutes. All right, sit down. It would become very, very painful. except for Covey Concord might wake him up. It's very painful. And yet people like Gary McKissick will rob him, and they did it for thousands of years. We cannot imagine the kinds of austerities that they went through to get the power to become Amar eternal when it's not possible. The only way we can become eternal, although we are eternal, but the only way we can become eternal is by casting off our attachment to this material world, this material body. And the only way we can cut our attachment is by giving everything back to the owner. Giving everything back to Krishna. We're falsely proclaiming proprietorship and we're getting entangled. So we have to stop this type of consciousness action. It's not that we stop using Krishna's things. Parpanashikatyaya Vudya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna. Mumukshuni Purityago Vairagyam Fal Katyade. False renunciation means to reject things that can be used in Krishna's service. When you see that everything belongs to Krishna, everything is connected to Krishna, then you can practice Yukta Vairagya, real renunciation. But a pseudo yogi, he has many ulterior motives and he has imperfect knowledge, Abhishuddha Buddhaya, impure, incomplete knowledge. So although we are bhaktas, we're not even attempting to become gyanis, because even our austerity, even our efforts, are simply for pleasing Krishna. Whereas a jnani, he's trying to develop an understanding or knowledge for his own aggrandizement, for his own pursuit, for his own self-satisfaction. But a devotee, like Vasudeva Datta, he has complete knowledge and he thinks, I'm not afraid of suffering because I'm not his body. It's Krishna's body. I'm not frightened by the material world. All these people are suffering. You take them back to God and I will suffer their karma. I have no problem with that. Simply I ask that I may remain one of your insignificant devotees. The devotee is so attached to his loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna wants to see all of us rightly situated and happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. He wants to see us happy. Why are we not completely happy? Because we have not yet learned to surrender our false egos to Krishna. So our duty is to become Krishna conscious and then to train others to become Krishna conscious. It is not advised to go back home, back to Godhead by yourself. You have to take someone with you. We don't give out single tickets. We only give out group tickets. You have to get a full bogey of people to go back to Krishna. So it is not difficult. Even they want to play cricket, but let them glorify kabaddi or something. Kabaddi. Let them glorify the cowherd boys. Let them glorify Krishna. Somehow or other, we have to learn put Krishna in the center. Nena dena prakaryana mana Krishna nivesaya. Preaching is an art. Preaching requires that one should be result-oriented. Elena Polakakana. We want people to come to the highest platform, but they cannot come immediately. So have a restaurant and let them come and satisfy their lusty desires with Krishna Prasada to start with. And so many avenues there are. Prabhupada said everyone should go through the four ashrams. So in Trihasta ashram, one is a license to satisfy his senses. But ultimately, we have to cut the knot of material affection. When we leave this world, if we read the description, the devotee casts off the different layers surrounding him. Material layers, subtle from gross to subtle. And he travels through the 7-8 layers around the material cosmos and enters into the spiritual world. He's getting rid of his attachments, actually. Just let it go. So this can happen even now. We can learn to live. We know the art, how to live in the world, but in a detached way. It is not without emotion, it is not without feelings, it is not without compassion, it is not dry in any way, but it is with the right understanding. And it's like electricity. It's such a simple adjustment to turn the same energy from cooling to heating. It's not a big, major thing. The same electricity coming in your house by a different attachment, one gets heated or one gets cooled. And even in the cooling, there's some heating going on. So, I like this is Srila Prabhupada's. He often referred to his Bhaktivedanta purports as his personal ecstasies. So you can see that here. The words used Sri Bhagavan Vatsa. So Bhagavan means someone who possesses all opulence, but generally it might be translated the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Absolute Truth, someone born. But Prabhupada in his ecstasy is saying the most beautiful personality of Godhead. Now it's not, it doesn't stand out. Beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation. There's 6 opulences. Beauty is one of them. But Prabhupada is just, he's inspired. He's going to write the beautiful personality of Godhead. So he's feeling some wonderful ecstasy. And of course, Lord Brahma also felt the same ecstasy when Krishna played on his flute. He heard that sound, Gayatri. And he was impregnated with Vedic knowledge, and therefore he understood how to create. But he performed austerity to please the Lord. So we will also be empowered to do whatever we need to do to keep body and soul together and to create an international society where people can find shelter. Now the American soldiers are rushing through the Iraqi desert. It must be quite hot. I'm sure they'd love to run into an oasis rather than an oil well, because they're wearing all this big heavy equipment and gas masks and those things. But we've got our oasis. We're also running through the desert of the material world. Day-to-day life can really get people down. In fact, the World Health Organization has informed people that the greatest type of disease, or the biggest disease, the biggest illness in this age will be mental illness, stress caused by overwork and not knowing why. The same amount of work will not get you, will not feed your family. Now more and more we see, I remember years ago the slogan was Hamdo Hamare Ekado, but now it's Hamdo Hamare Ek. I see it everywhere, they've gone down to one. And a lot of people don't want to have any children because it's just such a struggle. And many people don't even want to get married. It's more and more of a struggle, and we need a place where we can understand, where we can learn how to tolerate the miseries, matra sparsas to konteya sitosna sukadukada, agama painam indyastamsa pikshas prabhada. Krishna's telling Arjuna, you just have to tolerate. But how do I tolerate? Well, I need association with other persons who are also learning the science of Krishna Bhakti, who are also speaking Krishna Katha, Srinivatam, Spa, Katha, Krishna, Kadiyantasya, Mamnityam, Pushyanticha, Romanticha. They're developing Param Drishtva, higher taste, and therefore they can tolerate the difficulties of life. We need that kind of association. And, of course, the Brahmacharya Ashram is meant for those who want to sincerely or seriously practice austerity. But ultimately, the overwhelming majority of devotees will be congregation. And congregation has to feel empowered to organize wonderful activities for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. We have to build our international society. We don't have that right now. We have international temples. International Confederation of Temples. But now we need society where young men who are intending to be householders and young women and parents and grandparents can work together in a cooperative spirit. They can serve the deities, they can serve the brahmacharis, and they can build something nice, an oasis. So I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna. तो उत्तम जो मुनि कहते हैं कृष्ण मुक्ति पर देते हैं उत्तम के कृष्ण मुक्ति पर देते
हैं What do you say?
तो आप तो नो
पर What do you say?
I think Krishna मुक्ति पर देते
हैं Vishnu Bhakti why?
तो आप तो नो दैट व्हाट इज प्रॉब्लम इन
What did Prabhupada introduce? I wasn't there when he introduced it. Maybe Bhakti Rupa knows. I usually do both. One time I say Vishnu, the other time I say Krishna. Just so I satisfy everyone. Because ultimately, the original Vishnu is Krishna. So if you say Vishnu Bhakti, Bhakti unto Govinda. Of course, there is bhakti to Vishnu, but it's in the mood of awe and reverence. And we're in the line of Radha Bhakti. Not simply ritualistic bhakti. Now, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, for example, it appears that they are concentrating on mantras and rituals, etc. But in their line, there were many great raga bhaktas, the alwars. Their prayers are imbued with such bhakti, such raga bhakti. And even Ramanuja himself, his guru, Yadavacharya, once described Krishna's face something similar, and he was quoting from Sanskrit, like the back end of a monkey, reddish colored like the back end of a monkey, the rump behind of a monkey. And Ramanuja began to cry, tears came to his eyes, it was so painful to him. And because he had deep love, from awe and reverence, respect develops. God is great. But on a more intimate level, the heart should melt and should develop love. So in the same line, you have both traditions. In our line, of course, we are worshiping Radha and Krishna, but we're actually worshiping in the moon as sadhakas of Lakshmi Narayana. This is real raga bhakti begins when we're much, much advanced from the point of prema, which is quite a bit away from most of us. We're still struggling with an ambramasma. I think so. So whether you say Krishna bhakti or Vishnu bhakti, I don't think it's going to severely interfere with your devotional creeper. But you can continue asking people, see if someone gives you a definitive answer. Prabhupada does say in different places that bhakti means to Krishna. You cannot have bhakti for some material thing. But he doesn't say Vishnu, he says Krishna. But again, if we say Vishnu and we understand Krishna, personal and impersonal consideration is practically, it's an option that is eternal.
My point is at this time.
At any time.
So this Brahma, that was the Lord. So no creation.
No, he's wondering why Krishna. Well, it's something like Prabhupada came to America and he was preaching to us. And he was telling us, beware of Mayavadis. We said, okay, what are Mayavadis? We never heard of such things. But he stressed it so that gradually when we did understand, we were on guard. Mayavadi Vashu Shunile Hoy Sarvanas. Oh, okay, I won't hear from any Maya Prabhu. Who are you, a Mayavadi? And one has to understand that anything is possible in the material world because everything is volition. You can choose to serve Krishna or you can serve to disobey him. So therefore, now the wording used here is pseudo-mystics, but the Sanskrit is kuta-yogina. So, could be impure yogis. In other words, Brahma was not under any illusion that he was in a perfect world because he himself was born into darkness. He had to practice austerity before he achieved knowledge. So if Brahma is born into ignorance, what to speak of us? So he could understand that other people could be misguided. Lord Brahma, in one particular incarnation, became lusty after his own daughter. He became a pseudo-yogi. We speak Srimad Bhagavatam. We speak as it is. We try to speak what Srila Prabhupada told us. And he wanted us to put it into our own words also. But he wanted us to be very careful not to change the spirit of what he was saying. And Bhakti Siddhanta had one disciple who would simply memorize his lectures and preach them verbatim. Whenever Bhakti Siddhanta would say, he would just act like a tape recorder, replay. So Bhakti Siddhanta was satisfied with him. So Srila Prabhupada was constantly talking about things which were, you can say, pushing us to come to a higher level. To this day, we're still having deeper and deeper realizations of the meaning of what Srila Prabhupada said. He said, your love for me will be demonstrated by how you discuss together to serve me, to push on the movement, but to understand what I've given you. I've given you everything in my books, but what does that mean? You have to discuss it. So newer and newer realizations are coming out from that. So, you know, here Lord Brahma is getting some instruction, and even Lord Brahma may think, oh, what's a pseudo-mystic? Krishna mentioned a pseudo-mystic. Wonder what that is. You have to be careful not to create any pseudo-mystics. Any other questions? Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam.